Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to the book of Acts, Acts 15, beginning in verse 36, this is God's word. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go back and visit the brothers in all the towns where we preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. But Paul did not think it wise to take him, because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. He came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jewess and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The brothers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. If you like three-point outlines and alliteration, I'll give you 3 points that begin with D. Okay? The first is disagreement. We've got a major blow-up here. Paul said to Barnabas, "Let's go back and visit the brothers in all the towns where we preached the word of the Lord and see how they're doing." Barnabas wanted to take his nephew, John Mark. Paul was opposed to that because John Mark had deserted them, gone back to Jerusalem. Now, obviously, at this point, John Mark is sort of reunited there. He's available. Barnabas ends up taking him. And Barnabas is wanting to give the guy another chance. And Paul is saying, "No way. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. I'm not going to fall for this." Now, part of the irony is that Barnabas was the guy who had gone to bat for Paul when Paul was not trusted at all by the believers because he had been the leader of the persecution of the believers. If anybody should know about second chances, it's Paul. And if anybody should appreciate the fact that Barnabas is a guy who's willing to give people a second chance, it's Paul. But if you look back in chapter 13, when we studied that, we saw that clearly in the text, John Mark's departure had a lot to do with Paul taking over the leadership of the group. Up to that point, it was Barnabas and Paul, Barnabas and Paul, Barnabas and Paul. And then God used Paul in a miraculous way in a difficult situation, standing up to a guy who was opposing the truth. And from that point on, it was Paul and his companions. Do you know what a marquee is? Okay? That's the sign out in front of an auditorium or theater. And one of the great debates in show business is who gets headline billing on the marquee, whose name is in big letters and whose names are in small letters, or in some cases, you might be in the show, but you didn't make it onto the marquee. Well, in Acts 13, the wording on the sign shifts, if you will. It goes from being Barnabas and Paul to being Paul and his companions. Now, Barnabas didn't quit, but John Mark was like, I'm out of here. I've had enough of this guy. And clearly, Paul got the memo. He understood that the reason John Mark had left was out of resentment against his leadership. So now, when he's organizing a trip to go back and visit the churches where he and Barnabas have visited and preached the word of the Lord, Barnabas is saying, hey, let's take John Mark along. And Paul's saying, no way. No way. Who was right and who was wrong? God is right. The rest of us mess up from time to time.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His Word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and is holding out his hand.
Some of you who are here today and some of you who are listening have been through painful splits in churches, sometimes even, God forbid, in marriages. You've been through difficult things where people who should be able to get along didn't. And here we have an example of two great servants of the Lord, Paul and Barnabas, who split up. The disagreement became so sharp that they parted company. Paul says, well, okay, I'm going this way, and I'm taking John Mark. And Paul says, fine, go. I'm going to pick somebody else to go with me. And he picked Silas, and they went. And it says that they went, commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. Does that mean that Barnabas didn't get commended? No, it doesn't mean that. It's referring to the fact that Paul did, because what's about to follow is the tracing of God's ministry through him. Okay? Some have suggested that Luke actually wrote the book of Acts in part as like a legal brief to explain what Paul's been up to, because he's going to stand trial, which is where we find him at the end of the book. Now, if you have been through such a breakup, if you have been through a church that was torn apart, just realize, and this may not comfort you at all, but I hope it will, just realize that these things happen even with good people. Paul wasn't leaving because he disagreed with Barnabas over doctrine, and that's important to note. These men were in complete agreement about the gospel. Both of them loved the Lord. The disagreement was over strategy. Okay, not doctrine, but strategy. And so this disagreement that fractured them, you could say it was over personalities. And to some extent that was true. But this disagreement that fractured them did not change the nature of their preaching. It did not change the way that they lived godly lives. It just meant that they were not going to be able to work together when they couldn't agree on this matter of whether or not to take John Mark with them. Please note that later, the Apostle Paul will really value John Mark and request at the end of his ministry that John Mark please come and be with him, because there's been reconciliation and Paul clearly has tremendous respect for John Mark and God's work through him. That's worth noting. Amen?
Amen?
We ought to be able to see that just because people part company, it doesn't mean one of them has to go to hell. And it doesn't mean we have to despise them, even if we can't work with them. When that happens, it's not pretty. But you shouldn't think that it's the end of the world, and you shouldn't think that, well, one of them has to be written off. No. You can appreciate this one's ministry and appreciate this one's ministry and not carry that wound and be disillusioned and say, I just don't believe any of it. I think it's all just a sham. Well, then shame on you, because they're both doing better than you are. First point, story of a very important disagreement. Second point, starts with a D. Deference. Deference. Timothy is recommended to Paul and Silas as being somebody who could be a real good member of the team. Timothy's mother and grandmother are strong believers. Timothy is a strong believer. Timothy's father is a Greek, and there's no mention of his faith. If Timothy's going to be on the team, everybody here who's Jewish is going to know his daddy is Greek. I bet he was not circumcised. I'm not comfortable with this. Now, Paul has already been up to Jerusalem, and the church has already established the fact that you don't have to be circumcised. And if you get circumcised in an effort to be justified before God, not only are you not helping your situation, you're destroying your witness, because the gospel is about God's grace to us in Christ Jesus, which we receive through faith. So circumcision, as Paul writes to the Galatians, counts for nothing. Doesn't matter if you're circumcised or not circumcised. So why? Why in the world, when that has just been ironed out after great controversy, they've traveled, they've met, it's ironed out, and they're out spreading the word that you don't have to be circumcised, you don't have to keep the Jewish law. Why then does Paul say, go ahead and circumcise Timothy, let's get it done? before we make this road trip, we're going to circumcise him. And Timothy went along with it, of course. Why? Because it removed an unnecessary objection to the gospel. That was the goal. If I was going to be in a Muslim culture, and I want to reach those people for Jesus, I'm not going to eat pork. Why? Are you under dietary law? No, I'm not at all. But I'm being deferential toward these folks because this isn't about food. This is about God sending his son to die on the cross to pay for our sins. And if you trust in him, you are saved. And if you don't, you're not. I mean, that's the dividing line. Either you're trusting Jesus for salvation or you're trusting something else. Now, if you're trusting something else, whether it's circumcision, following dietary laws, or something else, whatever it is, if you're trusting something else, you're still headed for hell. The only salvation is in Christ Jesus. Paul knew that. And so in this context, he says, Timothy ought to be circumcised so that this is a non-issue. That's called deference. I defer to the other person. Paul here circumcised Timothy out of deference to people who needed the gospel. It was out of deference to them. But Paul did not compromise the gospel. He didn't change his theology. He simply did something he wasn't obligated to do in order to remove any objection that would unnecessarily make it hard for people to come to faith. Disagreement, deference, what's the third D? Well, it's called divine intervention. And if you want to say divine intervention regarding direction, you can add an extra D. Paul and his companions begin traveling through this region, and what happens is they're thwarted from going to preach the gospel in this place. They want to go there and preach the gospel, and the Holy Spirit says no. Why would the Holy Spirit say no? We're wanting to preach the gospel. We're not wanting to go preach heresy. Yeah, but that's not where I want you to be right now. So they say, okay, all right. We'll obey. And they turn and go to preach over here. And the Spirit of Jesus says, no. No. Why would he say no? Because that wasn't where he wanted them to go. And so they're like, well, what are we supposed to do? And Paul gets a vision of a man from Macedonia saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And they concluded that that was a message from the Lord, and they went to Macedonia. And if you read the rest of the book of Acts, it turns out they were correct in reaching that conclusion. Years ago, we were developing the campus here, and we needed a school building, and we built it right over there. That was our first school building. And the story of how it got there, I'll tell briefly. I was going to have it built over there. And God wouldn't send us the money. And we don't do anything at the ranch unless God provides the funds. And God wasn't sending the money. And I'm praying for the money. We really need the money. I'm praying God will send the money. And God's not sending the money. What is the deal? If God had sent the money, there would be a school building not right there, but over where some other things needed to be. I didn't know that. I had a master plan, and the reason I didn't want a school building there was I wanted a chapel here. Okay? Right as you come in the drive, I wanted you to look and see the chapel because it needed to be central to what we do and who we are. And so, I didn't see how we could put a school building here that would mess things up. But no money was coming in, and I'm praying and crying out to God and saying, why aren't you sending the money for the school building? And the Lord impressed on my heart just a thought, very vivid, that you're wanting to build it in the wrong place. And so when I finished praying, I said to Susan, I believe the reason the Lord hasn't sent the money is because I'm trying to build it in the wrong place. She said, well, where do you think we're supposed to build it? I said, I don't know, but I'm going to go down there and pray and walk all over campus and ask the Lord to show me where. So I came down, I'm walking all around and praying, and the Lord, just the whole place is yours. You just show me what you want. Where do you want us to do this? And I'm going all around. I used to be able to walk. And I came to that spot right there, and I felt like the Lord was saying, this is where the school building goes. That's not what I envisioned. But God, if that's where you want it, that's where we'll build it. And so I'd already drawn the plan for that little rectangular building. So I called a friend of mine who's a property developer over in Sevierville, and I said, Butch, would you please come out here? And he came, and I said, I'm trying to decide where to put the school building. And he said, okay. And so we drove around a little bit, and I didn't make any comments. And we came to that spot right there, and he said, what are you going to do here? And I said, I'm open to suggestions. He said, I think this would be a perfect place for the school building. And I said, well, that's confirmation, because that's what I was feeling before I called you. So we built the school building there. By the way, the money for that building came in 1 week's time after we decided to put it there. Okay? Not from one person. A bunch of different people gave the money to build that building in 1 week's time, after weeks of nobody giving money for the school building. But as soon as we knew where to put it, God said, here's the money. Well, I decided, stupidly, that since we'd built the school building there, the chapel was supposed to go somewhere else. And so I began to come up with other places to put the chapel, and God wouldn't send us the money for the chapel. We got the land in 1991. We built the first home and opened it in 1992. School building went in and was complete in 94. This building was opened in 2018 after years of construction. But you know what happened? After looking at that spot, looking at that spot, looking at that spot, looking at that spot, my wife said, where did you want to have it originally? And I said, right basically between the school building and what's now the dining hall. And I said, but there's not room to have it there. And she said, have you measured? And I said, no. And she said, well, let's go measure. And so we came down and we measured. And it fits nicely, wouldn't you say? And after we decided this is where it was supposed to go, God began sending in the money. It took more than a week. But God provided. Now, why am I telling you that? Because there are times when you're really seeking to do God's will and you have an idea what you want to do, and I think this is going to be it, and you begin pursuing it, and God says, no, no. And it's like, God, is this the devil attacking me? Because I'm trying to do your will. And God says, no, that's not what I want you to do right now. Okay, all right, regroup. I got it. I'll do this. And God says, no, no. Well, what do you do at that point? Quit serving God? No, keep seeking God. Say, God, I'm yours. I belong to you. I mean, I kind of feel like there's an urgency here, but it's more important to do what you say than it is to do what I want. So show me what you want. They waited on the Lord until Paul received this vision of the man from Macedonia. And at that point, because of divine intervention that had blocked them from going elsewhere and blocked them from going elsewhere, now God gave direction. And God blessed. And when we read the rest of this chapter, it's two extremely memorable stories about God's blessing a ministry in the midst of difficulty. It's going to be hard when you do what God says, but it's a whole lot better than disobedience.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.